You are listening to True Sex Talk with Lady G Spot. I'm Lady G. I'm your host. We're going to talk until we find your spot, shall we? I'd like to thank all my listeners, and I definitely want to shout out to everyone that's listening from all over the world. There's so many countries where people are listening and my thousands of listeners, and I just want to let you know you're appreciated. I hear you, and I'm so glad that you're listening to me. All right, so let me start it off by saying, keep in mind we are a PG-13 grown folk talk show. Calls, emails, we encourage it. If you want to go into our chat room, you know, you've got questions, we'll answer them during the show, not a problem. You want a special shout-out, just let me know. I'll take good care of you. And just kind of want to, you know, get you more engaged and let you know that we hear what your questions are, what you're saying to us. We're going to speak on it, and we'll take it from there. Now, a little bit about me. I'm a published author, poet, and a speaker. My first book is a simple how-to guide called The Art of Sucking, A Guide to Giving Great Head. Now, I actually wrote this for women who want to know how to please themselves by pleasing their man. So if you're interested, all you have to do is send an email to TrueSexTalk, that's TRUSEXTALK at gmail.com, and no worries, we'll get you taken care of and get you your copy of The Art of Sucking, A Guide to Giving Great Head. It's an easy read with very simple instructions on what to do, what not to do, and how to do both and make him like it. All right, gentlemen, if you're interested, order it for you, lady. That's your number one complaint, and I must say that's what I'm hearing through my many shows is that's what men are getting the least of. So simple things, but important. All right. Now, I'm also writing another book, and we're going to read some excerpts out of that, which I think you will be not only surprised, but extremely delighted by some of the things that you will learn. You'll hear me talk about my ho-isms. You know, just keep in mind that my philosophy is very simple. Whether you do you, him, or her, do it well, but do it. All right. Tonight we're going to talk about deception. But the type of deception we're talking about, folks, happens all the time. And since this is a sports network and we have, you know, the NBA finals going on, I really kind of want to kind of hit on some areas that, number one, there are some of these items I know of personally. I've not only experienced and heard from the horse's mouth, you might say, but I've also seen photographs over different time periods. So let's talk about the deception of athletes who are heterosexual, but they've been deceived by someone who is transsexual or even transgender. And before you go, no, let me just say this. Everybody has flipped through the channels and seen Maury Povich, where he has the show, Is It a He or Is It a She? And let me just say that literally 80% of the time, the audience gets it wrong. And I want to say that there are some beautiful, beautiful men out there masquerading as women. And I do say masquerading, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, it doesn't bother me. If you want to dress like a woman, you want to be a woman, that's totally your choice. Whatever you choose to do is up to you. What I have a problem with is the deception, because you have to at least, at the very least, give respect and honesty to the person that you're pursuing in an intimate setting. And by that, I'm saying he doesn't know. He's thinking you are 100% woman, and you come off that way, you sound that way, you look that way, you are drop-dead gorgeous. You probably have the most beautiful breast that a doctor ever implanted into a body. The problem is that you didn't finish with the lower half, and so there's a lot of tucking. And I'm going to give you an example. I think this was 1986, 87, a person that I knew personally and had actually had a serious relationship at one point in time, trusted me. We were really good friends. You know, we talked occasionally. You know, it was not a big issue. And this particular person, who was an NBA basketball player, they happened to be in, I want to say, somewhere in California. I'm not positive exactly where it was, but they were in California. And he with several of the guys, they were all together. And there were some really, really beautiful women, stunning women. And met one of them. They talked back and forth, you know, bantered. It was great, okay. They're going to hook up. It's a done deal. And it turns out that one of his teammates rushes to the elevator and says, man, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you, you know, right now. And he's like, we'll talk about it later. You know, I'm a little busy right now. His teammate said, I need to talk to you now. I need to talk to you right now. So he realizes he can hear some urgency in his teammate's voice, and he excuses himself for a moment, says that he'll be right back. And his teammate then says to him, man, she's a he. Now, old boy had been in the elevator. All of this had transpired between the bar and his room in the hotel, and the bar was in the hotel. It was a club, like a little, you know, nightclub thing. And his teammate caught him before they went into his hotel room. The boy had been kissing this person the whole bit. And his teammate told him that. He said, old girl downstairs told me, point blank, and knew that you didn't know. And he stood there. He said his head dropped to his chest. And he thanked his teammate, and he walked back, and he looked at this person that he thought was a woman, and he said, please tell me that you're not a man. And this particular person said, well, what difference does it make? You didn't know that I wasn't a woman. And the only thing he said is, you need to run. You need to run now. And, of course, this person took off their high heels and took off running and skedaddled out of there. Now, this NBA player went to the bus the next morning, and all of his teammates on that bus knew what was going on. Every single one of them. And, of course, they razzed him about it. They know he didn't go any further, but in his mind, he was devastated, crushed. He totally, totally could not even deal with what had happened in his mind. He couldn't wrap his head around it. He was just, it totally destroyed him. And that type of psychological deception can do something to someone so hurtful, so harmful, and it's dangerous, very, very dangerous. But I can tell you that there's not just stories, but, I mean, there are actual pictures that athletes have taken and not even realize that the person they're taking the picture with is a man and not a woman. But she's so beautiful, and she sounded so great, and she looked so great, and she's, you know, slamming body, everything's in the right place, sexy as could be, the whole bit. And my whole point is that's a deception that is just, I mean, unfathomable. Now, James, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, let me ask you, what are your thoughts?
You know, we're already getting a lot of chat room reaction to the topic tonight, so I think you touched a definite nerve out there. I think my first initial thought is, wow, on this story. And I know you're not going to share the name of that NBA player, although
I am really, really not. I am really, really not going to do that. I mean, and let me just say this. I could very easily, but I'm not. He knows who he is. He knows what he dealt with. And let me just say this. He is so not the only one. And that's in you can think of.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I know for a fact that I've been around athletes, NBA, NFL, other sports, and I've seen, you know, of course, it's very natural to see women gravitate towards the athletes and want autographs or want to talk to them and give them their number. And it's been instances when I had to look and be like, wait a minute, she's pretty tall or she's pretty muscular or that's fake, you know. So I know it definitely happens, and I'm sure it happens more so in a nightclub than in an arena, where there's a lot of lighting.
Well, let me tell you, there were some haters out there that when I used to hit the club scene, literally, because I stand 5'10", and in heels, I can be anywhere from 6 feet to 6'2", and I've got legs from here to Georgia, so I can tell you that. There were some times where the good thing is my breasts were my breasts. They're real. And there was no doubt that they are real. But I can tell you that there were some haters out there that, you know, tried to spread some rumors that I was a man. Of course, that actually didn't work when they saw me modeling and I'm wearing a thong.
Right.
There was nowhere to tuck anything. Where was it going to go? Okay, so... You know, but ironically, they're out there. I mean, they're really, really out there. And, you know, I have to say that some of them purposely, they're perpetrators, you know. That's literally the only word I can use for them. They're perpetrators. That's really... And I get amazed that, I mean, I can tell, and I know, but I look at different things. I see certain things in bone structure, you know, and I can tell you, I've lived all over the world. So, you know, I've been in Hawaii where you could not even tell, you know, at all. There was just no way you could even tell that. That's not a dude. I mean, that's not a chick. It's a dude. You would have never known because you can't
right.
tell. You know,
right.
you couldn't tell. And you would have sworn, you know, petite, you know, itty-bitty, just beautifully shaped, everything in the right place, hair flowing down to the waist, you know, makeup is impeccable, you know, skin so smooth that literally smooth as a baby's bottom. Okay, so is it out there? And, you know, I can have men will say all day long, oh, I could tell, I would know. The truth is honestly, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't know unless literally the bottoms came off and you went, whoa. Then you would know, the shock in itself, you would know for sure. But I can assure you, they're out there. And the thing is it's a terrible thing to do to someone. But you also have to stop and say, there are women out there saying, he deserves what he gets.
Yeah.
You went out there doing, you deserve what you get. Because you shouldn't be out there playing around on your wife, on your woman, whatever the case is, you know. And, you know, it's to each his own. It's however you feel. But I can honestly say that it's out there. I'm bringing it out so that you can hear it. But there are players out there. You know, let me just say this. And there are men out there who have been in this situation. If you're with someone and you don't know this person and you don't know this person well, and you hit it off in the conversation, she's beautiful. You know, she's letting you know she wants you. All of that. If she is giving you head and then telling you to take her from behind, and I'm talking the back door, I'm not talking doggy style, I'm talking the back door, and this is your first encounter ever, that's a clue. It's a clue. Okay? And you're not, you're going to hit the lottery, fellas. No, you're thinking, oh, man, she's going to let me just hit it the way I want it. Yeah, no. You didn't win. You didn't win. Okay? That was the wrong door that you picked. Okay? Monty Hall would say, yeah, we're not making a deal.
Wow.
You already picked the wrong door. So
okay, so you got a couple of people that want to ask questions here in the chat.
Let's do it. What are they?
All right, so Chad wants to know, what is a acceptable, I think the key in this question is the word acceptable, what is an acceptable reaction to being duped into thinking that a woman is really a guy? What's an acceptable reaction? Because, and I understand where he's coming from, because I think I know what my reaction would be. I don't know if
you
I would have time to say. Well, I don't
you
know if I had the time to say run. I don't know if I have enough patience to say, hey, you need to run. So what is a acceptable reaction to someone that really, you know, really is being deceitful and tricky in believing one thing when it's something else?
Well, here's the thing. The worst thing you could do is do any bodily harm. And I'm going to say, and this is one of the reasons that it happens, although they risk being hurt, but for an athlete, that's an immediate lawsuit, period. It's an immediate lawsuit. So for an athlete, whatever it is that they're making, they better automatically expect to lose part of it. And the problem with that is they don't want the publicity. They don't want the lawsuit. They don't want it coming out. So, you know, of course, the one thing they want to do is just totally disappear. And let me say this. You should know the difference. And I gotta say, what is an acceptable reaction? You know what? Literally, the only thing you can do is walk away. Walk away and hope that no one you know witnessed anything, no one you know, saw anything or knows anything. You need to just walk away from this situation and put your pride in your pocket and just literally walk away. Because if someone is that deceitful to trick you, then they're not just tricking you for the sex. There's more.
I think it's often on a kind of I think it's also going to depend on where you are in this. In, you know, if you've already, like, kissed this person or touched this person, I think the reaction is going to be a lot more harsh than
Well, if you didn't know, you have to stop for a second and remember, though, you didn't know and you thought you were kissing a woman and then you found out you were kissing a man. I mean, the initial reaction is going to be shock. Now, you can get angry because they deceived you, but the bottom line is you didn't take it any further. And that's why you've got to walk away. You've got to walk away and remove yourself from the equation altogether. That way, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen later. And if I worry about what happens later, I'm talking about going to jail. Because even though you were deceived, you know, some states don't even have such a thing as temporary insanity, okay? So
right.
Even if a lawyer wanted to plead that, it wouldn't matter because some states don't have it, all right? So, and, you know, you're not going to go and look up the statutes for your state before you go out to a club. You know, these are things that unless you went to law school and you already know for the state you're in, then you're oblivious to what the laws are and what your state is going to offer and what penalties you're going to have to deal with. So why even deal with that? Don't deal with the anger where you're putting it out on someone else. You know, is what they did wrong? Definitely. It's so wrong on so many different levels. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, it's a lesson learned, total lesson learned. You know, and I know some players that will literally have a woman strip before they go and do anything, before they want to make sure.
Yeah, someone's probably been duped.
Someone they know was duped, and they knew, you know, it's a real possibility. You know, let me just say this. If they're married or in a relationship, they shouldn't be playing around and begin with. But you can't stop what is. Women are throwing the JJs have been left and right. They're throwing blowjobs. They're throwing everything they think that he might want or like. It's in his face. You know, he doesn't have to do anything. I mean, literally, I know guys that are professional athletes who, in all honesty, I know some of the women that they've dated and that they've had relationships with, and half of those women said all they do is lay there anyway. And I'm not saying it's the case with all of them, but when you're, I mean, you can be lazy because the truth is, you know, you're the star. You're the superstar to her. You're the superstar. She's in the light with you. She's your girl. You know, you don't have to work that hard. Now, the problem with that is that if everything is being given to you on a platinum platter, you need to also keep in mind that it can be taken away just as quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, and let me also say this, you know, and you and I have actually spoken about this as well. You know, one of the things that is going on right now is we're looking at all of these athletes that are gay, okay, and they're coming out. Well, they were always out there. Bottom line is, you know, it is what it is. They have their choice. Now, if they live hidden, that's the choice they made. But think about it. You have a man that just came out, a wrestling legend who came out at 73 years old, and he came out saying, for 50 years, I've hid the fact that I'm gay, and I have had the same partner for 40 years. And he literally is you know, he is a wrestling legend, and, you know, with the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. So it amazes me. It truly, truly amazes me that we're just now in 2014 coming to terms with some of it. And ironically, I mean, did you hear what Rick Perry recently said? Rick Perry made a statement, which is, it's been all over the news, but his statement was that being gay is like being an alcoholic. So he's saying that he believes that the homosexual gene can be passed down like the alcoholism gene can be passed down. But you choose to be an alcoholic, so you choose to be homosexual or lesbian, you know, whatever the case is. The fact that he even said that, you know, is ridiculous. But more importantly, people don't really understand. They don't know. They don't understand. And I can honestly say, I mean, that's not my lifestyle, and it's not something that, you know, that I can say that I fully understand. But you know what? People should do what makes them happy as long as they're not hurting someone else. And that's where the deception thing is. Now, you know, there are athletes that are out there that are gay. You know, Jason Collins, you know, he's out. Okay, I mean, you've got Orlando Cruz, who is a professional featherweight boxer. You know, he's from Puerto Rico. You know, he's out. You've got all of these different, you know, literally, there are female, there are males. It doesn't even matter what nationality they are, what race they are. It doesn't make any difference. You know, Kwame Harris. You know, all of these different athletes, they play their game. They do what they're supposed to do, you know. And you and I were speaking about this, you know, John Amici, okay. He played at Penn State, spent 5 seasons in the NBA with Orlando, you know. I think that, and here's the thing that you know, people say things when they get mad. They say hurtful things, all right? Women have been called bitches and cunts for years. But how ironic is it that you let somebody let a racial slur come out, you know, they lose everything, right? They lose it all. They lose everything. You let someone do, we'll say whether it's, you know, calling someone gay or a faggot or, you know, whatever the slur is. But yet women, I mean, we've gotten to the point now where we say, thank you. You know, am I a bitch? Damn skippy. Yes, I am. And I've earned that right, you know. But now it's what's politically correct and who's politically correct. So I think with a lot of what we're dealing with and what's going on in the world today, you know, my key thing, as I said, is the deception, you know, deceiving someone, pretending that you're straight. And again, one of the other things that we're talking about is, as well, is, you know, these players who, this is their sexual preference. It's their preference. It's their lives. You know, the main thing, again, is not hurting someone. So we're going to take a break. We're coming back. We're going to have some excerpts read, And then want you to keep in mind you're listening to True Sex Talk with Lady Jean. I'm Lady Jean. And again, we're going to talk until we find your spot. So please stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Calling all sports fans, there's only one place to go to get all your sports news, information, radio shows, sports talk, anything that you want to do, that's RFSN, the Real Fan Sports Network. Log on to realfansportsnetwork.com to hear shows from across the country. And of course, make sure you can hear this show on the Real Fan Sports Network. Go to TuneIn Radio on the TuneIn Radio app and search for RFSN to get sports talk 24/7 from a fan's perspective. That's the Real Fan Sports Network, realfansportsnetwork.com.
All right, we are back, and we're talking about deception. We're talking about, you know, players who have been duped. We're talking about people who have come out and recently or in the past, or played their whole careers, you know, hidden. Again, you know, someone's preference is just that. It is their preference. But I will say this, and we were speaking about it earlier, you know, if any of our listeners knows of anyone, please make sure that you let us know. Because I'm not sure if I've seen any major sports figure that has come out, you know, has their picture been on a Wheaties box? You know, are they, you know, representing a big name, you know, company? Or, you know, I'm just trying to see, you know, endorsement-wise, you know, maybe I'm missing something, maybe I don't know, but, you know, we've got a long way to go when it comes to acceptance. Long way to go. But the number one thing is, you know, deception is out there. It's at every turn, and it makes no difference whether you're a multi-million dollar athlete or, you know, the president of the United States. It doesn't make any difference. Or you could be the person that just has a regular 9-to-5 down the street. Deception is still deception. And when it hurts other people, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll add something as soon as you get done.
When it hurts other people, then you're doing the wrong thing, and you're doing it for the wrong reason. Go ahead, James. What do you got?
Well, I was going to say I want to thank everyone, of course, for listening. We got a ton of people listening right now. And I know you're going to get into some excerpts from the book. Before you do that, we did get another question on the chat room from Steve85. He wants to know, what is the score of the soccer game? And I'll tell you, Steve, it is 1-0 Japan over the Ivory Coast.
Good to know.
So there you
have
it.
Good to know. And I want to make sure that all our listeners know, if there's something that you need to know regarding sports while we're on, we don't have a problem with that. We're on a sports network.
Right.
We know it. We love our sports. We love our athletes. We love our people, no matter, you know, where you are around the world. We're going to answer questions, whether it's sports-related or it's sex-related. You know, we're going to do what we need to do to try to make sure all our listeners are taken care of. All right, so we are going to talk about some excerpts from the book. And I really kind of wanted to kind of touch on a couple of different things, but my book is I'm a Ho, I'm a Ho, You a Ho Too. This is a collection of stories of people's experiences. They email them to me. They send them to me. It's all anonymous. And they're going to be in this book. They're from men. They're from women. They can be straight. They can be gay. They can be bi. They can be a menage a trois. You know, it can be, you know, a complete team. You know, it's your stories, whatever your stories are. So here's a story that I've got that's one of my stories. And the only thing we do is I use the first name and I use a city and a year, okay? And this is Mona, 1994, Dallas. It's late and the phone rings. It's a guy named Malcolm. Malcolm dated a girlfriend that I was once close with. And, you know, they had dated just a few times, but he dogged her really badly by telling all of their friends in their close-knit group and all the people that they knew how terrible she was in bed. Needless to say, they never hooked up again because he never contacted her again. But she was my friend. So I didn't like the fact that he had done that, let alone the fact that I heard about it. So consequently, there's an old saying, hell hath no fury. Well, I decided, since she was my friend, that I was out for a little bit of revenge on her behalf. A few months later, he started calling me. I wasn't seeing anyone regular. You know, I was seeing Joe on and off, but again, nothing committed, no big major deal. So we talked a little, and there was a lot of home talk over the phone for several weeks. And then one night, did the one thing I thought, this is it. I'm in the mood. I'm feeling it. And after several shots of whiskey, I'm going to do this. So I was feeling racy, hot, horny, and he wanted to get with me, and I knew it. And he already knew that I had extremely high standards. He'd been trying to get with me for some time, but I only gave it up to men who climbed and repelled. If you go up, you must go down. While on the phone, I had my home moment and told him he could come over and that we would fuck. And we had to follow the rules, my rules, but they were very simple. He would come over, open the front door, walk straight to the back where the bedroom was, where I would be in bed, nude. All the lights would be off. He was not to speak or turn on the light. He was not to utter a word. About an hour later, my front door opened. I could hear someone walk in, walk through, come to my bedroom in the dark, quickly undress, and mount me, saying nothing, moving slowly, quickly, up and down, several different directions, basically devouring me. When we were done, he got his nut, and he got up as he was instructed. He got dressed, and he left without saying a word. And that was exactly the way it was supposed to end that late night, early morning. He had a good stride, good timing, and pumped me with a ferociousness that turned me on at the time, and he gave his face. I was orgasmic a couple of times, but nothing to brag about. The intensity, you know, kind of numb, no emotion. We did not talk, moaned, but no talking. When done, he got dressed and left, as I said, as he was instructed. And he called me a few times, and he always talked about that night, called to see me again and again and again. I never did see him again. I thought about my girlfriend. She really liked him and wondered if he understood what had been done to him. Nah, I don't think he got it. But I will say that it must have been a very special night for him in his mind because it had been a secret. But it was still in his head because many years later, someone at a grocery store, he of course asked for my number. I gave it to him, but knew we would never talk because I was never going to answer his call. I got texts all the time complimenting me on a night from years ago that was still locked into his memory. I believe I left him with a good memory, a sad departing, and me. That was my whole story. So, James, what do you think? What did you think of Mona?
I think Mona is wrong.
Well, why is she wrong?
She is wrong because she should, because I feel like this, if a guy did that, he would be wrong to a lot of people. But since she's a woman, it was all intimate and secretive, you know, it's okay. But you know what? You know, she should have talked to him again. She should have let him come over and hit it again. I mean, that's just my thoughts on it. I'd be upset if I saw her again. If I got a number, she answered the phone, I may have some choice words for her.
Okay. All right. We have another story. This is Nadia in Austin. And let me just say, these are stories that are sent to me. It's someone else's experience. I'm reading the story as if I'm in their spot, but these are their stories and they're sharing them. And if you have a story, again, all you have to do is send it in. If you want to send it anonymous, go to imaho.com. imaho.com. It'll take you straight to the page where you can submit an anonymous story yourself via email. You can just fill out the paperwork and send it. Done deal. All right. My boyfriend and I were getting real nasty and having fun. We had a few drinks, and I pulled out a toy that he had gifted to me. It was a 5-inch vibrator with a ribbed head. It was rather tiny, slimline, and something you could literally hold in your hand. So we're having fun, and he's teasing me around the rim opening of my anal cavity. And all of a sudden, the vibrator got sucked up into my rectum. It was humming out of control. We were so into it until Dan couldn't get it out. It sounded like a lawnmower. He kept trying. It would not come out. I'm starting to freak out. This thing is inside of me, and it's making all this noise. 20 minutes later, I am screaming at him through the bathroom door. The door's locked. I'm so pissed off, and he keeps knocking on the door. Baby, open the door. I yelled back, get away from the door. You're never touching me again. Go away. Now it's been an hour. I'm sitting on the toilet. This thing is still whirring, but now it's going. The batteries are running out. I can't get it out of me. Now I'm crying. You know, the slow hum of the vibrator makes my cheerful sobs sound ridiculous. And all of a sudden, it stops. It has gone from to and now it stops. Done. I stop crying and washing my face. I have a dead vibrator stuck up my bum. Are you freaking kidding me? Really? I cannot go to an emergency room to have them take this thing out of me. I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? I can't believe it. He's in the other room every 5 minutes or so asking me to please come out. I can't face him. I don't want to see him. I'm going to hit him if I see him. I sit on the toilet and I start going through a fashion magazine. And when I tell you it was not even 5 minutes later that the thing just popped out, like it was tired of being stuck inside of me. I calmly pick it up, clean it off, wash it, unlock the bathroom door, walk out. My boyfriend looks at me, and we fall on the floor laughing. The next time the toy will be much longer, much larger. There will be no more little mini toys ever. And oh, by the way, he married me. And he said that was when he knew he was going to marry me, when the vibrator was stuck in my bed. He's my freak, and I'm his hoe. All right, James, what do you think about that one?
Well, first of all, if anyone out there listening, all the thousands of people that are listening, if you have a better story than that, we'd like for you to be a guest on next week's show. If you have any story similar or better than that, we need to hear from you live. My reaction to that is like, wow. I mean, that's I had to cover my mouth to prevent from just busting out laughing hysterically. And that's almost unbelievable. That's just crazy. I know it can happen. I'm sure it's happened probably thousands of times. But wow, was all I could say for that one.
I mean, you know what? It's literally one of those things that, whoa. All right, so here's a story that I got, and we're going to go over this one. Latanya, 2012. My 87-year-old mother married my father when she was 13. After 8 children, my father died when my mother was only 30 years old. She never married again, nor had another man since my father's death. Yesterday, my mother asked me, "What is a blowjob?" I very politely said, "Mother, it's when a woman puts her mouth on a man's privates." She very sternly, in her country voice, said, "Daughter, no, daughter. I want to know exactly what happens when, from beginning to end, I want to know everything in the middle. I want beginning to end, start to finish. You tell me everything. I want to know." I'm a little tickled, but I'm thinking, you know what? This is my mother. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to tell her this. I begin explaining exactly how to give a blowjob to my mom. When I'm done, I think this is so weird to try to explain this to my mother. Then I share the story with a friend, and she asked me, "Why do you think your mother wanted every detail of how to give a blowjob?" And I replied, of course, quite candidly, "Oh, she's just curious." And then she said to me, "Are you sure your mother doesn't want to give a gift to a friend?" I stop and think, oh, crap. My mother does have a new friend in her retirement community. Did I just tell my mom how to give him a blowjob? Did I just make my mom a blowho? James?
Wow. again, anyone, any of the thousands of people listening, if you have a story similar to that or can top that, we need to hear from you live next week. Please email the show at truesextalk@gmail.com. You know what? She did turn her mom into a blowhole. I mean, at 81, there's no other reason to ask about how to do it or the intricacies that go into it unless you plan
it's
on
amazing.
Taking that step. That's incredible.
All right. Now, here's a story I got. And listen to this one very carefully because this one totally blew me away. And I have lots of these stories, but I need more. So please, TRUSEXTALK, truesextalk@gmail.com. This is Ramona, and this is 1985. What am I doing? Why am I on this plane going to New York to see someone that I've never met but only spoken to? A month of phone sex, a check for $2,500, and then a check for $6,000, and now the promised $30,000 for one night. Really? What am I doing? The question is, one night of what? What am I doing? I'm excited with anticipation, and I'm scared shitless. He told me to wear a dress that flows. He told me to wear, not to wear any underwear. The dress I chose was a beautiful emerald green, and it shows my color so beautifully. The slit is high. My red tinted hair is perfect, and I'm sitting in first class, enjoying lobster and shrimp with a glass of champagne. My carry-on has very little in it, and I will be on a return flight tomorrow morning. It all started with a wrong number. Remember, there was no caller ID, no cell phones, no pagers. A woman calling my phone accidentally, and we kind of fell into conversation. She was in California telling me about Mr. Man, Mr. Bill Man. Needless to say, it's a fake name. But he would pay for sex talk. And since she thought I had such a sexy voice, I should think about it. She kept saying, it's so simple. It's so easy. It'll be the easiest money you ever made. The next thing I knew, I was expecting a call from some man a few days later. And after giving him my bank account information and talking to him for about an hour, on a Wednesday afternoon, and again on a Thursday afternoon, I check my bank account, and I have $2,500 wired to it, just like that. I couldn't believe it. I was hooked at how easy it was. I mean, I talked to him about what I was wearing, how I would make him feel. When he tapped me with a boar bristle brush or spanked me with a swift, quick slap across my ass, he liked it when I talked to him. His breathing was heavy and out of control. I felt a sense of power and control, and I liked it. The illusion of control is intoxicating, and I was enjoying it. The power of money, addictive, and I'm an addict for cash, and the feeling of temporary power. The plan lands at JFK, and I'm walking through the airport like I owned it. I felt my own sexiness glide across the waxed floors. I was feeling the allure of my beauty and saw the men's eyes on me surrounding me like fruit flies to a ripe mango. And I smiled because I liked it. As I'm walking, all of a sudden, a driver with his chauffeur's hat in hand asked me if my name is Ramona. I smile and say it is. He asked me to follow him to the bar. A man about 5'6" stands up, weighing about 350 pounds, if not 450, with what looked like red spaghetti sauce stains down the front of his handmade, custom-starched white shirt. And then there were a few drops of the spaghetti sauce on his custom Armani suit. He wraps his arm around my waist as we walk and talk. Away we go in a limo. I'm smiling, as if I'm happy. But while we're walking through the airport with all eyes on us, I'm talking to myself saying, what the fuck am I doing? Fuck, play it. Play the part. Pretend you like it. We're going to a helipad. I was not aware of this. I'm getting into a helicopter. The view's lovely. Again, I am scared shitless. The adrenaline that is flowing through my body, amazing. I might be able to fly this thing just on that. What if I die? 30 grand, 30 grand, 30 grand. Please let me live. 30 grand, 30 grand. The helicopter is landing on an island. It's an island-like area. There's a lot of homes. There's stilts. I think we're in New Jersey, but I really don't know where we are. When we land, a limo picks us up, another 30-minute drive, and we're on the water. The house looks like a brand-new model home, like no one's ever even lived in it. Now I'm cautious, scared, excited, and disgusted all at the same time. I keep telling myself, you're not going to throw up. You're not going to throw up. It's going to be fine. Everything is okay. He asks if I want something to drink. I say no, just in case I need to run. Where am I going to run to? Where the hell am I? Go to the bedroom. I lay across the bed. He takes off his suit jacket and asks me to talk to him. I smile and tell him I'm laying here. I'm moist with anticipation. And he asks if he can tie me to a wrought iron gate in the living room. I don't know why I trust this heavy-breathing, disgusting man or why I said yes, but I did, and that was my error. So much for the quick getaway. He was very reassuring and told me not to worry when he tied me up. Unfortunately, he tied me with a raw, rough, scratchy, very harsh rope. It scratched and cut my delicate, pale, virgin skin, but I was a good girl and I didn't complain and said yes, sir, to every question from that point on, because now I really am afraid. Moments later, I was tied butt naked to the rail like a cowboy that had roped a steer. He was proud of himself. The rope was tied behind me, keeping my hands tight behind my back, and then the rope was brought up between my legs, resting right in the middle of my clitoris. And I have a very small clitoris. Lord, what have I done? What have I done? I'm trapped, and I don't know what he's going to do to me. I am tied up like an animal. I don't know what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, I'm on my tiptoes. And right now, the rope could just slice right through me. He's breathing heavily. He's at his most excited, seeing me so helpless. He just wants to taunt me and hear me beg. I'm pleading. I'm begging for him to let me go. I really am begging. I am pleading. I'm begging. 15, 20 minutes on my tiptoes. The rope shifts. I lose my balance. Total unconscious. I'm totally unconscious. When I wake, I'm untied. I'm lying on a bed, and towels are all around me. How long was I out? I'm bleeding pretty bad. He sent his driver to pick up some first aid materials. He then lies next to me, apologizing for damn near tearing my clitoris off and opening me up with that damn rope. Comes on my leg. Sorry, bastard. I walk through the airport like I owned it. I have a check, a cashier's check for $30,000 and $500 cash in my hand. I'm on my flight. I'm not worrying about it. I have a limo waiting for me when I get back home, and as I stand curbside, there's a very well-known group named the Oak Ridge Boys standing there on the side of the curb, telling me, can they give me a ride in their limo? When my limo drives up, it's brand spanking new. They smile and ask me, can they have a ride in my limo instead? I smile, tuck myself away in the back seat, pour myself a stiff drink. Hell, let's make it two drinks. that is the end of my whole story. What's yours? All right. That's one of the stories. A little more, you know, elaborate in the book, but I wanted to tone it down just a little bit for you. Remember, your stories are wanted. We'll be back next Saturday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Don't forget to email us. James, any last words?
Yep. Wow, what a story to end on. I can't wait for next week. Wow.
All right. We want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. This is True Sex Talk with Lady G, and it's been my pleasure to have you with us tonight. James, thank you. You're wonderful as always, and we will be talking to all you hoes, male and female, next week. This is Lady G. Peace, love, and satisfying sex. Good night. On the corner, keep them warm.